Welcome back to the Radio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Georgie Jameson, and I'll be producing the podcast for the next few months. If you have an idea for the podcast, then get in touch. podcast@radioacademy.org. I'd love to hear from you. This week, our guest is broadcaster, writer and comedian John Holmes, whose work on the BBC Radio 4 comedy series The Skewer has won him and his team at We Are Unusual a whole heap of awards. It's been described as a comedy concept album and a satirical river of sound. If you've never heard it before, then the new series starts tonight on BBC Radio 4. I asked John, how would he describe the show?
Well, it is quite difficult, isn't it? People say, oh, I heard The Skewer. What is it? And you go, well, you've heard it. You go, yeah, I still don't know. When we first pitched it, Georgie, right, I could hear it in my head. I remember going in to see the then commissioning editor at Radio 4 Comedy, Sean Ed William. And I said, look, I've got this idea and I can't, it's really hard to describe, but I can hear it in my head. I said, but it's sort of a, and I think I said the rather pretentious phrase, a satirical river of sound, by which I meant it's a sort of collage of news and current events, but I'm going to mix it in with sort of pop culture, with film and TV and music and all the internet stuff. And she sort of said, I've no idea what you're talking about, but it sounds interesting. Even at that point, I knew I was going to hunt out new talent. I knew there were a lot of people sort of working in the, if you like, the satirical space that weren't traditional writers, that weren't sitting down and typing jokes. And I was aware, and I think I said to her, which was a gamble, I said, you know, Radio 4 comedy can sound quite old-fashioned. And, you know, there's still an air in the topical shows, a little bit of sort of, you wanted to see me, Prime Minister, that sort of thing, right? From the 1950s. And I thought, well, it won't sound like that. And she sort of said, well, look, okay, all of these are good things. Go away and make it. And so we made a pilot. And everyone liked it, it turned out. And it was just sort of quite a woozy, trippy listen, I think. And that was, you know, deliberate, because I wanted to sort of make the sound of it as important, or certainly run alongside the jokes. Basically, the meeting of the two things in this world I can do. There's nothing else. I can't mend anything. I can't do anything. The only thing I can do is write jokes and mess about with audio.
When did you suddenly have that eureka moment and thought, I've just come up with The Skewer?
It was never quite like that. It was very much an evolution of stuff. And I think I was just conscious that the next generation of comedy writers and satirists weren't doing the typing stuff. They were making things with audio, you know, and a lot of these people were on Twitter at the time. Certainly our initial core team, who I didn't know at all. I just approached them because I liked something they'd done on social media. I put six of us in a room and just said, look, I tried to explain it to them as well. Failed, but enough for me to go away and go, okay, well, if you make that idea and you do that, you've got both different points of view on it, you know, because no one was a comedy writer. None of them were comedy writers. I mean, they've all got real jobs.
Were any of them in the radio audio industry?
No, there was a landscape gardener. I think at that stage there was a delivery driver there. But no, not what, no one. I mean, they all had their first broadcast credit. And in fact, since The Skewer started, because somebody at one of the comedy websites let me know this, because they've got the geek way of adding this stuff up. 178, I think, new writers have had their first broadcast credit thanks to The Skewer. And I'm really proud of that. And that was kind of one of the points of doing it. You know, now we're where we are, it's certainly that comedy writers will pitch stuff as well. And that's great. But a lot of the initial core team certainly, and still are, people with jobs. Angry teachers, annoyed nurses. As I say, the only qualification you need really, because it's not even about writing jokes, The Skewer, because of this open door policy. It's about juxtaposition of ideas. That's what it's about. So people can get credited and paid just for saying, and I give this example a lot, but it's a good one really, just for saying, what if, as was at the time, Matt Hancock, then health secretary, takes the NHS to the repair shop to get him in? And that's a great idea. That's a really nice idea. And so I go, yep, we'll make that. And what's good about it in terms of its reference point, because there are a lot of people who contribute, they've all got different back catalogues of knowledge of film and television and other things. The diversity of the ideas and the diversity of thought within. Because, not, you know, everyone's got a different political point of view. And I always think with The Skewer, we deliberately do not take sides. Whereas you'll get on other programs, you might get a sort of polemic from a comedian who might be left-wing or right-wing, whatever it might be. Because we don't write a point of view. What we do is we take audio that exists from the news and juxtapose it against something else to point out hypocrisy or stupidity or failure or whatever it might be, or celebrate. something, you know, whatever it might be. But it's always done with existing audio, and we're very, very, try very hard to go down the line of, we're presenting the facts, you make your own mind up as to what you want to do, you know. And but of course, the more toxic the world, the better it is for us in a way, because we've got stuff to get at. I'm not saying I started all the wars personally, but if no one else had, I'd have had to go out there and do that.
It would be terrible if the skewer was on during a really slow news period, wouldn't it?
I mean, it would have been.
Yeah,
it'd
be rubbish, wouldn't it? What do we do then?
But there's always something, you know. I mean, there's always a big theme each time we do a series.
Would you be surprised to know that the skewers also made me cry as well as laugh?
I wouldn't, because you wouldn't be the first to say that. Can you remember which bit?
It was to do with the Israeli-Palestinian.
I know the bit you mean, yeah.
And it was about the children in the hospital. I sat in floods of tears.
We're in the unique position, I think, for a comedy show. Because we don't have performers at all, and it's just all done on existing audio, you can flip from a silly, funny thing to quite a poignant piece. And you do that you do that transition with sound.
It's made by your production company, but it goes out on the BBC. And I just wondered how much leeway you get in terms of content and language, because you're not afraid to swear. There's bad swears.
There's bad swears.
The worst of the swears.
The worst swears, yeah.
But, you know, how much does Julia McKenzie trust you and give you that trust and leeway? And I'm also thinking about particularly when a big news story breaks really up to the wire, which a couple of seasons ago you had that situation with the Hugh Edwards story, and she said, just do what you need to do. But you were literally working up to transmission, weren't you?
We were. We do that often, because we go on a Wednesday, and annoyingly, news seems to happen on a Wednesday afternoon. And it's, oh, come on, stop resigning from government. Stop it. It's 5 o'clock. Julia's great. Julia leaves me to it. There's a system in place, of course, if we're doing, like Hugh Edwards is a great example. Of course, we have to cover it. So we have a discussion about what we're thinking of doing. If there's a big story like that, a lot of the time, we can kind of get on with it. Obviously, they listen to it before it goes out.
Yeah.
That would be mad.
Yeah, it's got me complaining. But that happened at 6 o'clock on a Wednesday.
Yeah, we had to change quite a lot of the show. We didn't know that announcement was coming.
In a spiral, a wheel within a wheel.
In a story where few facts are actually known, we're very much in the territory of one person's word against another's. So where does that leave us?
On an ever-spinning wheel.
We appear a long way from understanding the full facts of what's happened.
As the images unwind, like the circles that you find.
And the cracks are beginning to show.
In the windows.
In the story that is embroiled in claim and counterclaim.
To answer your question, there is swearing. We do difficult stuff. It doesn't hold back. No one would want us to. You know, it's not going to be on at 6:30.
It's on at 11 o'clock at night, isn't it?
It's on at 11 o'clock at night. And it's on sounds, obviously, and all the rest of it now. It might surprise you, I think series one, or maybe series two, did, in the early days, get a repeat on a Sunday evening straight after the Archers. We used to deliver two versions, the late night version, then we had to deliver the Sunday evening version where we had to sort of mask the swearing or whatever. But the swearing, you know, it's not there. And again, we're not swearing.
But it's mostly like clips from films where the swearing and stuff comes, isn't it?
But it only when it's needed or it's right for the piece. I'll give you for instance, when Jeremy Hunt became the Chancellor. Again, I lose track. But when he became Chancellor, what we thought would be funny to do, and indeed it was to take every instance of every broadcaster getting his name wrong, as a lot of them did, and just broadcast them all. But we did have to go right up to the top, you know, right up to the Mohit, the controller, about it, because that's the C word 24 times within a short amount of time. And there were several F words in the same show for whatever reason. So it was quite a sweary show. But I think I'm right in saying that that was part of Radio 4's Station of the Year entry, which they won. So
yes, it was. Yes.
I remember the note was, are you sure none of these are repeated? And they're all individual cases of them saying, Jeremy. And I went, yep, I promise you that is true. And that was the criteria. That was the compliance. It was like, as long as they're all different times it's been said and you're not repeating it, you're fine. Let's do it. And hats off to Roger Marnie as well at Radio 4, who does all the compliance, because he gets the show, you know, along with Julia. You know, they're both really good at you know, there's no one knee-jerking go, oh my God, you can't, you know, because there's always a point to it. So both of them are very good on steering that.
I think it's something you either get or you don't. It messes with your head when you listen to it. You always say listen to it with headphones on because there are these extra sort of Easter egg bits of sound. I wanted to talk to you about the sound design, the engineering, the editing, the team that do that.
Neither me nor Tony Chernside, for he is, you know, my sound guru, can remember how we first spoke about it. I mean, I've known Tony for a long time. And I don't know, I remember having a conversation. I remember having a conversation with him, and I was walking just along Oxford Street when I think we'd got the pilot commissioned. And I said, look, I've got, and again, I tried to explain it to him, saying, I don't know what it is, but I can hear this. I want this immersive, deep sound stuff. And he was like, I don't know what you're on about, but yes, let's do it. You know, same thing. It was, he's based in Manchester. So I went up to see him and we played around with some ideas, and he, kindred sound spirit. Basically, I'll put stuff together and then he'll make it work properly. You know, he's absolutely brilliant.
Because the layers of sound are extraordinary.
Yeah, we spend a lot of time working on the sound design as much as we do on the jokes, I think it's fair to say, because once it's structured and it's all in place, then we mix it, which means we go in and we just pull it apart and start adding these layers of sound. And you're absolutely right. There are things in there that are Easter egg jokes for people who are listening carefully. It bears repeat listening, which is rare for a topical program. I think it probably does. We also call it, maybe a reviewer did, a comedy concept album. And I thought that was pretty good.
It must take hours.
I mean, in terms of man hours, I think Tony and I don't even meet minimum wage, if I'm honest. I mean, it's like, it's ridiculous. But we start it goes out on a Wednesday night. I think we start putting it together, or at least the ideas start coming in from the contributors, maybe Friday, certainly Saturday, because if you do anything too early, the news agenda will have changed. So ideas on the Friday won't be topical on Wednesday. So some of our contributors will also mess with sound. They'll put bits together and send clips, and sometimes they'll build the sketches, which is great. You know, and the caveat is they have to deliver it for the technical people, you know, in consolidated stems, so I can drag them into Pro Tools and pull everything apart and start remixing. That's some contributors, which is brilliant, but a lot of contributors do it in script form, in that it'll be a list of time codes and links to where the clips are. So I'll then have to get all those and strip them out and load them in, and then build the sketches, do a rough mix with sound and levels, and then individually send it to Tony on maybe the Monday. As I go along, he'll start assembling it on his Pro Tools session, and I sort of go, we'll do this, and look, I put a plug-in in here and I think it should do that, and then he'll sort of go, I don't know what you've done, but I'll fix it. And then we spend a lot of time on sort of a Tuesday. That's when we both share, because I used to go to Manchester, but the pandemic stopped me doing that. So we worked out a way to share Pro Tools screen stuff over Zoom.
How do you get copyright clearance for all those clips?
This show couldn't have been made 10 years ago because the law wasn't in place. But in 2014, parody law was passed as a means to express yourself creatively. And parody law means that you can take an existing work, copyrighted work, and if you change it to create another work of art, their words, not mine, but you change the context to form something else, it comes under parody and pastiche. Up until comparatively recently, you weren't allowed to use recordings from Parliament, like Prime Minister's Questions and so on, in comedy programmes. You could only use them in news programmes. But that changed as well. And I think we ended up being perhaps the first to note that change and start using it a couple of years ago, yeah.
Do you find that when you are watching films, listening to music, watching other comedy, I know you're a big comedy fan like me, are you always switched on to the skewer?
Yeah, I've got lists on my phone, lists and lists and lists of clips, time codes, things I spot, music I hear, obscure thing I saw on X or whatever it's called. And I've already got, because we're back, you know, as of when this is going out, well, today, the 14th of February, and a lot of the stuff that will be in the show will be from my phone list that just said Skewer Series 11. And then I'll look back at it and I'll go, what does that even mean? Why have I written, I don't know, Milky Farage? What's that? You know, whatever. I have no idea.
But also the skewer, have literally won everything.
I mean, you say everything. We didn't win the 100 metres at the Olympics. No, didn't get that. No, not everything.
No, but I'd give it a go next time because I think you probably would. Do you just carry your arias around in a big wheelbarrow?
That's what I just keep them in the garden. Yeah, in a big wheelbarrow. Yeah, yeah, that's
you?
Right. Yeah.
But do the awards motivate you at all? Because, I mean, literally, it has won everything.
What motivates us, or me, I think, certainly with the skewer anyway, is a level of just an outlet for frustration at the world. I mean, that I'd be lying if I said that wasn't true, because I think that's, and that's all writers, perhaps, isn't it? That's all creative people have, want a creative outlet. And so it's a privilege to have Radio 4 as where to put my internal monologue rendered in weird, stupid jokes. I think all comedy writers have that, you know, and to write something with your, just to get it out there is the main thing. I mean, the awards, of course, you know, have been great, but as I always say when we do them, it's a massive team effort. You know, it really is. And the contributors, you know, without whom, etc., without Tony, without Julia backing it, without Roger, you know, and all on the side of it, without Mohit, who champions it at Radio 4. So it's a big collaborative bunch of people. I should say Rhiann at Sounds as well, who in its early days really jumped on it and said, let's get this out there on Sounds and promote it and so on. But really, it comes down to the people who come up with the ideas. And long may that continue. And then what we do is we reevaluate every series and commission new people. So a lot of it's non-commissioned stuff that just comes in. People get paid if they get stuff on. But we kind of, you know, keep the team plate spinning and get more people on board.
You're also a great one for using bits of old classic comedy and sitcom, which I adore. One of my favourite sketches is when the Keir Starmer thing with the two Ronnie sketch, the Mastermind sketch, and I sat with my headphones on and just went, why didn't I write that?
Well, that was a gift, because as listeners may remember, Starmer, it was when he was getting criticised about his stance on Gaza. And interviewers were asking Starmer whether he thought that this more or less starving of Gaza was justified. And he was saying they have a right to defend themselves. And then his sort of people came out, you know, various shadow cabinet members came out and defended him by saying, well, when he said that, you see, he was actually answering the question before that one. And of course, your brain goes, what, like that two Ronnie sketch when they did Mastermind? And I go, well, that's an easy open goal. Come on. So, yeah. So it was taking Starmer. I mean, the trick then, of course, is you have to find the right clips that work.
And that takes the time, doesn't it? It really does.
Does it? It's insane. And again, it's only 40 seconds long or something, and it took about 2 days.
But it was one of my absolute favourites.
Well, then it was worth it, Georgie. It was worth all of it.
I think Israel does have that right. Why did Keir Starmer say that?
He's clarified that this week, that he was answering the previous question. Previous question. Previous question. Previous question.
Previous question. And so to our first contender. Good evening, your name, please.
Thank you for having me. It's fantastic to be here.
You have chosen to answer the question before last each time, is that correct?
Sir Keir Starmer.
And your time starts now. What is paleontology?
I think that's right.
What's the name of the directory that lists members of the peerage?
A volatile fossil fuel market.
So it's difficult to say where you see the skewer heading in the future.
Well, we did a TV version because we did 10 series in on the radio. You know, Julia McKenzie worked very hard with us and with the BBC to facilitate a visual version happening. And of course, everyone's going, how are you going to visualise the skewer? That's insane. But the other thing we're doing, which is going to be happening, I think, early 2025, is the skewer on stage.
Whoa.
I know. Don't ask me how. I've not got that far. But it is happening. There are plans afoot, shall we? More than a foot. There's plans, a whole leg, more than a foot. A couple of legs of plans.
It's a couple of legs and a thigh of plans.
That's right, of plans. That's where we are.
That sounds amazing. John, that's been wonderful talking to you. Good luck for the new series tonight. Starts tonight.
Thank you.
On BBC Radio 4. Get headphones on.
Let's do it. And if anyone does want to get involved, because, you know, we're all audio people listening to this. If you go to the Unusual website, weareunusual.net, you'll see a link through to the Skewer Contributor Guide, and it will just tell you everything you need to know.
A huge thank you to John Holmes for chatting with me there. Headphones on for the new series of The Skewer on BBC Radio 4 tonight, or you can find it on BBC Sounds. Congratulations also to this year's RAMP cohort, which has been announced by the Radio Academy. Meet the Mentees is on our website now. I was part of the first cohort in 2022 and I had an incredible experience. So the class of 2024 are in for a wonderful time. You can also still grab tickets to the next Foot in the Door event
in Glasgow on the 28th of February. Just go to radioacademy.org for more details. And don't forget to subscribe to the Radio Academy podcast so you never miss an episode. I'll see you next week.
Alexa, tell me who has been talking about the skewer.
You have been listening to John Holmes and Georgie Jameson talking about the skewer for the Radio Academy podcast.